Okay, so a question came in, and it's a fairly good question. So first of all, I noted that as we're working off the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, which is an Ashkenazi work, if you look at the Shulchan Aruch itself, which is written by Rabbi Yosef Karo, who's a Sephardi, so he doesn't start with the 3 weeks and progress on to talk about the 9 days and Shavuot Shachal Bo. For Rabbi Yosef Karo, there's very little to do during the 3 weeks. There's one or two things that apply during the 3 weeks, but otherwise the 3 weeks is not really a conception as far as we sort of discussed the other day. So the question is, so why do we observe the 3 weeks, especially since, as this person pointed out, it's not in the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't say anything about 3 weeks. So I think the concept, first of all, we think about it, you know, it is somewhat makes sense that, you know, we have this very short period between Shiva Asar B'Tammuz when the walls were breached in the second temple, and the first temple it was, I think, the 9th of Av, and Tisha B'Av. So it's a very short time period. So it makes sense that you kind of put that together and create that period of mourning. Also, there's a pasuk in Eicha that says, "Galta Yehuda me'oni me'rov avodahi." Judah has gone into exile because of misery and harsh oppression. Yashvav goyim lo matzam anoch kol rodfeha hisiguha ben hamitzarim. When she settled among the nations, she found no rest. All her pursuers overtook her in the narrow places. So this word ben hamitzarim, so the Midrash interprets that to mean the period between Shiva Sar B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av, because it's this sort of narrow time. So in between these two, or I guess a better way to say it is that, you know, narrow in the sense that I guess they're sad, it's limiting. So so you have this time between, you know, one, you know, you have this time between Shiva Sar B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av. So that's perhaps where that sort of outgrowth is. And this, it just really, a lot of what we do grew out of minhag, that people over time organically took on these minhagim to observe this time period. So you know, on one hand, it's not mentioned in the Gemara, but on the other hand, these minhagim that grew up probably of a sense that there's something to note, something to mark in this time period between Shiva Asar B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av, because they're so related. That it's a way to look at it. As I said the other day, as we keep going through the halachos, again, I think it's important to note that these halachos are not ends unto themselves, but they're means to an end, that that we don't not shave, or we don't not listen to music just because, but it's to help us create the proper mood, but the custom of abstaining from haircuts and listening to music, however we interpret that and the like, is doesn't guarantee in and of itself that you come to that emotional state. It's just a way to help design and sort of frame this time period. So let's go on in the Kitzur. Kitzur, it says, Noagin she'en mevarkin she'achiyanu b'yamim elu. Practices that we don't make she'achiyanu during this time period. Why wouldn't we make she'achiyanu during this time period? Because this is a time of sorrow. We say she'achiyanu kiman v'gyanu l'azman hazeh. You're expressing some sort of excitement that we've reached this time period. So, no, it's not. We're not really happy that we reached this time. In fact, we'd rather, rather be she'achiyanu that we got to the rebuild Beis Hamikdash, but she'achiyanu that we're in this time period that we're born in. So that doesn't make sense whatsoever. And for what it's worth, this actually, again, is also not from the Gemara, but it actually, of all places, comes from the Beit Yosef, from the author of the Shulchan Aruch, or Yosef Karo. So he's actually the one who seems in the Beis Yosef to mention this custom of not saying she'achiyanu. I don't know if he made it up, but he was probably reflecting the prevalent minhag in his time. So both Sfarim and Ashkenazim seem to have this idea of not saying she'achiyanu during this time. There were achronim, such as the Vilna Gaon and the Taz, who disagreed with that. Because even a mourner is allowed to say Shachianu, so it seems like an unfounded chumrah, so they don't necessarily agree with that. But based on that, the custom has sort of become that maybe on Shabbos we can be mekel. So let's look at some of the examples that are given here so we see what we mean. V'chein ein konin ve'ein lovshin beged chadash. You don't buy a new garment. Mishum te'ar tzarich levarech Shachianu. So on new garments, and not, we're not talking about something that you buy for $20, but something that's more expensive that you buy less frequently, like a suit would be the biggest example. If one got a new talis, perhaps. So those are things you make Shachianu on. So we try not to buy or wear. So buying itself doesn't generate Shachianu, but we wouldn't wear a new garment during this time that requires Shachianu, so we don't make the Shachianu. So on something like that, if you're putting it on Shabbos for the first time, you could be mekel. Another example, we'll get to that in a second. About pidyon haben mevarchin shechianu. On a pidyon haben, we do make shechianu shalal hachmisa tzav mitzvah, because if you don't want to push off the pidyon haben, so for something like that you don't really control the time. So 30 days is 30 days. So you make a Shachianu there. Alav pri yesh hakel levarach Shachianu b'Shabbos. So on fruit, you can be mekel to make Shachianu on Shabbos. So again, new fruit is something that you make a Shachianu, a fruit that you haven't had in some time. I think we generally assume it to be a year, if I'm not mistaken. But on Shabbos, we can be mekel, and that comes from a place of compromise that since the Gra and the Taz, others felt like this is sort of unfounded chumra to not say Shachianu during this time. So maybe on Shabbos we could be mekel. An important caveat that comes up here is that if you wouldn't find this fruit after Tishbav, you can make that Shachianu. So that's in some ways a guiding principle, that if you were going to purchase something that you wouldn't be and you wouldn't be able to get it for, you would either wouldn't be able to find it, or it would cause great loss, or you would get it, for much, or there's a sale going on, a big sale. So in those circumstances, perhaps you can be lenient to at least buy it. You might suggest, just for example, if you're buying if there's a sale for suits, and a person wants to buy a suit, so you could perhaps buy it, but not wear it. So that's a possibility. So the things that, again, that require Shachianu would be things like new clothing, if you're buying new vessels, particularly nice, new fruit, a car, furniture, things that you're very, if you're doing, home improvement projects, you're buying lots of new appliances and causes you great excitement. So you would want to avoid those. Now, we are allowed to make the bracha hatov v'hameti. You can make hatov v'hameti during this time because there's nothing problematic about the fact that Hashem can do good things. We just want to say Shachianu, we're sort of assuming that it's an auspicious time. So you can make hatov v'hameti, and the distinction there would be between things that you need versus things that we want, or things that make us excited. So if I'm buying something just to because I've been saving up for this and I really want to buy it, like I have a friend who was saving up for a while to buy a Tesla. So I don't remember exactly when he bought it, but let's just say that he was thinking of buying it. It happened to be 3 weeks. So, if it were to make a big difference in terms of the pricing, okay, so that would be one thing. But the 3 weeks might not be that time to buy that Tesla that you've been really looking forward to buying for a long time. On the other hand, if you need to buy a new car because your car broke down, so that's not Tov HaMeitiv. That's not buying a new car because it's a new luxury that you want to appreciate. So Tov HaMeitiv, we can make Shachianu, we try to avoid. So in some ways it's a little subjective, but it just depends on sort of what your intent and what the need is. And again, I think there's a difference between, when it comes to clothes, there's a difference between shopping and wearing it. And you're certainly allowed to buy clothes that are, more daily kinds of clothes, at least till Rosh Chodesh Av. Once you get to Rosh Chodesh Av, so shopping is something we minimize, and there we would say, from during the 9 days, it's only if you really, really need something. So you make those purchases, but things that you could wait to get a Dr. Tishba of, so it's better to avoid it. Okay, and so Kitzer finishes, Lo yakul tamidim o abanim beyamim melech. We don't strike students or children during these days. That's not for here and now. It's not something we do anyway. Okay, we'll just go on for a couple more minutes. So we don't get haircuts during this time. Not the hair of your head, not the hair of one's beard, and no hair on the body. We don't do any sort of shaving or haircuts during this time. And adults can't even cut the hair of minors. So here again, there's a difference between Sfaradim and Ashkenazim. Sfaradim only hold by this from Shavua Shechalbo, which is the week itself of Tisha B'Av. So starting from Sunday until Thursday this year would be Shavua Shechalbo during that particular week. So that's a custom. Rav Soloveitchik had a conception that the various stages of 3 weeks sort of correspond with regular periods of mourning. So Tisha B'Av would correspond with Shiva, Shloshim would, the 9 days would correspond with Shloshim, and the rest of 3 weeks corresponds with Avelus for the rest of the 12 months. So. And the Rav felt that in these days, when people, if somebody shaves every day, so if you're a mourner and you're 12 months and your hair gets to the point where somebody's going to say you really don't look good, so at that point you're allowed to shave. So the Rav thinks that for people who shave every day, so once you've gotten 2-3 days, then you've sort of surpassed that period. So he felt that you could shave every day during the 3 weeks up until Rosh Chodesh Av, if and only if you shave every day. Kavod Shabbos might also be a consideration. And for women, I think Lemaisa, you don't get a haircut, but other parts, if it other parts of the body, like shaving legs, is less problematic. If again, assuming that this is something where the appearance of it is not the way one normally goes around, so. We can be makeil there. Kitzer puts a caveat here. Hasafa aliyon and shibazaka and koshme akiv asachila nearly de yesh lahatir galcho out of shvoi shachal bo tishbaav. So if one's mustache gets in the way of eating, so you can cut that during shvoi shachal bo. Va b'shvoi shachal bo tishbaav yesh chasor. But during the week of tishbaav, we prohibit that. One caveat I just also wanted to mention with haircuts that's different than shaving is that haircuts is something you only do once a month, once every couple of months, so, lav dako during the 3 weeks. But according to the Rav, again, not shaving on a regular basis when one shaves is a little different. Ktsitzas hatzipornayim ein la'asor rak b'shavua shachal bo tishba'av. So cutting nails shouldn't be prohibited during the 3 weeks, but during shavua shachal bo, maybe we would be machmer. So it's obviously something that gets debated a little bit, but I think that's a prevalent custom, and especially if one cuts their nails every Erev Shabbos. So I cut my nails every Erev Shabbos, so I don't really have to worry about that during the 3 weeks. Woman has to go to the mikvah, she can certainly cut her nails. Minimohel, who needs to trim his nails in order to perform the bris milah properly, so he can shave, he can cut his nails as well. The last thing I'll just end with, because it's timely for now. The 3 weeks between Shiva Sar B'Tamuz Tisha B'Av, Maftirin, Shalosh Tevpor Anusa, Shehen Divrei Yirmiyahu, Shimu Dvar Hashem Chazon Yishayahu. So, three different Haftaros that we read every single year between Tisha B'Av and Shiva Sar B'Tamuz, obviously the other way around. So, this past week, we actually, it was Parshas Pinchas. But we read that what sometimes is called the Aftar for Mato. So at this point, the Aftaros don't correspond with the Parsha, and sometimes the way the Parshios work out depends if it's a leap year and the way the weeks fall out. So sometimes the Matos and Maaser are separated, so Matos will have one of these special Aftaros. If not, it falls during Parshas Pinchas. So if you forgot, it's the shul forgot, the whole shul forgot that it's the 3 weeks, and they just, you know, read, which could have happened this past Shabbos in theory, right? You think it's Parshas Pinchas, okay, I'll read whatever the Haftarah for Pinchas is, because the rest of the Haftarah is kind of really, you know, work out the way they should for the Parshios. So you think, oh, it's Parshas Pinchas, I'll read the Haftarah for Pinchas. So if you made that mistake, so then you read the two Haftaros of admonition or retribution together the next week. Rosh Chodesh Av Lios B'Shabbos Paftirim HaShemayim Kisi. If Rosh Chodesh Av falls on Shabbos, so some say that you say the Haftarah for Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, Yesh Mekom HaShem Haftirim Shimu. Some places that do the proper Haftarah for the 3 weeks. Okay.